Again, I just want to echo what Jazz shared, and I do want to thank you so much for your generous contribution, because we were able to have Jazz Vick on staff with us. And we are proud of Jazz. He has done a tremendous, tremendous job helping the church, helping men and women to get to know God. And because of your contribution, your sacrifice, more people are hearing the gospel. We've been praying because now we have more teenagers coming out. Angel, Jazz, and a number of brothers and sisters are involved in FCA at North Clayton. So we've started making disciples at North Clayton High School. And we're realizing we need help with the teenagers. So I started praying about it, you know, and like, God, what's the plan? We need help with the teenagers. And a good friend of mine, he's a principal at Best Academy, Dr. Jones. I've told you all about him. And I said, let me ask Dr. Jones if he will hire someone to work part-time at the school who would be them paying for our teen coordinator. So I was setting up some time with Dr. Jones, and we got together. He said, Mikey, I need a favor. I said, what, Jones? He said, I need a guy. So before I could ask him, he asked me. So Best Academy is going has hired Chris Dorelis. Why don't you stand up, Chris? To work as a paraprofessional, and we also are going to have him as a part-time team coordinator for the PATH. So our goal is to quietly infiltrate Best Academy, CSK, and help as many people as possible get to know Jesus. But they're paying for it, so that's what's exciting, to have all these partnerships. Let's go to God in prayer. Father God, we come before you right now, and we want to thank you for this opportunity, God, to worship you. Thank you for this opportunity to study your word. God, we just want to be good stewards, God, of the resources you have given us, God, the time you have given us, Heavenly Father, just our lives. And I pray, Father, as we look at these scriptures, that our hearts will be knit closer to yours, dear God. That is the ultimate goal, to bring glory to you. And we ask these prayers in your son's name. Amen. Let's go ahead and open our Bibles. I want to thank Nick. Nick did a tremendous job with that communion. And it was a great segue to what I want to talk about here for a few minutes. And let's see. You can go ahead and put the PowerPoint up. Back in the fight. Back in the fight. You know, it's good to have a spiritual wife. And God has blessed me with a very spiritual wife, a wife who has been a loyal disciple as long as I have, who has stood by my side in the spiritual battle, in the fight. And earlier this summer, she worked on a lesson called Legacy. And what we wanted to do is basically what we teach with On to Maturity, helping Christians to understand that we have to constantly mature in our walk with God. Instead of calling it On Maturity, she came up with the concept, let's call it Legacy. What are we leaving behind? And what we've been talking about with our people, and I believe she shared part of it up here when she spoke, the importance of us as we age in the Lord to keep growing spiritually. Because it's very easy to get excited and overjoyed about all the young people and them being in a fight, and, you know, to feel like, well, I put my time in. You know, I've done what I needed to do, and I believe that until the Lord calls us home, we need to stay in the spiritual fight. Amen. Now, I don't know about you, but let's see, 33 years of being a disciple, I can tell you there are times I feel like in my heart I put my time in. You know what? Good gosh, let somebody else do this. The Lord only did it 3 years, and he left. Let somebody else do this. And it's like, okay, we got these young people we're raising up. Go for it. You all preach the word. But, you know, that's not the way the Holy Spirit works. As long as we're here, there are expectations. If you look over in 1 Peter chapter 1, I'll start reading in verse 3. It says, praise be to God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. We love that inheritance part that is waiting on us. This inheritance is kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. In all this, you greatly rejoice. Though now for a little while, you may have to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. Now, we like that greatly rejoice. We like inheritance. Suffer grief in all kinds of trials. Lord, Lord, I'm having quiet times. We do family devotionals. We go to midweek. Shouldn't it be easier? And I know I have asked myself that question periodically. And you know, that's what I want to talk about. Greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief and all kinds of trials. These have come so that the proven genuineness of your faith, a greater worth than gold which perishes, even though refined by fire. And as I looked at this scripture, I thought about, you know what? There are times every Christian will get stuck in their walk with God. Now, if you're new to the faith, you might say, really? That's why we have quiet times. That's why we read the Bible. And I would love to say that this is going to be the easiest, most enjoyable, most amazing, incredible. Every day the birds will be singing and it just will be sunshine and you're walking on the heavenly road. And, you know, we have to really understand that God is doing something in us. And he doesn't always explain what he's doing. He doesn't ask permission to do it. But that's what surrender is all about. I heard a sermon last week when I was up in Jersey. One of our young Christians, he's up there, and he's reaching out to his friends while he's in Jersey. And he had a serious surgery this summer. So, you know, I went up and hang out with him and see how he was doing. And he took his friend that he's been reaching out to church. And it's so cool to see that somebody away from the body had some serious health challenges is still striving. You know, pray for him. He's young in the faith. You know, he would study the Bible with his friends, and his friends would get into it, and then he would serve refreshments afterwards. But, you know, we got to work on that refreshment he was serving because it's not legal in every state. But at least they were excited about the gospel. I don't know if you've ever been around young Christians. They do some very interesting things, but he's back, praise God. Okay, let's go to the next slide. You know, I found this quote, and it really can tie into what Christians go through. We go through challenges, and we get stronger if we deal with our challenges from a spiritual perspective. A part of maturing spiritually is emotionally handling the challenges that we go through. And the brother preached about it last week. He said, you know, sometimes as Christians, we're stunted in our spirituality and we're not maturing because we aren't maturing emotionally. We aren't growing. We aren't dealing with those things. And we feel like, well, you know, if I suppress them, if I don't really talk about what I'm going through, if I just have that mindset I'm going to be a great disciple, then, you know, I'll be all right and I'm going to gut it out. But when we look at the life of Jesus, Jesus didn't do that. He didn't do that. You know, Nick talked about Jesus' relationship with God. And although Jesus is God in the flesh, he still was human. That was a part of Jesus. That's a great paradox. A part of him had to deal with it. But, you know, if you look at the life of Jesus, it talks about how much he prayed. In Mark chapter 1:35, very early in the morning while it was still dark, Jesus found a solitary place where he went and prayed. In Matthew chapter 14:23, after tremendous victory, after tremendous events happening, Jesus withdrew to spend time praying to God. In Luke chapter 6, verse 12, Jesus had to choose his apostles. He spent all night praying. Important decision. I'm going to spend all night praying to God about it. And, you know, and I looked at it, if you feel like, well, it's been a long time since I've been convicted as a Christian, look at Jesus' prayer life, and let's compare our prayer life to Jesus' prayer life. I tell you, man, when I looked at, let's see, withdrawing to lonely, while it's still dark, wow, that's convicting. After a victory, still praying, I like to celebrate. All night, important decision. I tend to worry about things. I'm more worried than prayerful. And what Jesus did, he prayed so much in Luke chapter 11, verse 13, his prayer life inspired other Christians. They say, teach us to pray. We see how you are dealing with life. Teach us to pray. And I want to encourage those who've been in the fight to understand that, oh my gosh, there's so much more, so many more ways God wants to use us. That it's not over. It's not over. But it's going to start with us understanding the importance of our prayer life. In Matthew chapter 26, in verse 36, we're all familiar with the Garden of Gethsemane. And we're going to pick it up here because I think this shows how human Jesus really was. So, you know, it's about in the garden. When we're stuck, sometimes we are in that garden. Things did not work out the way we heard it was going to work out because we took financial peace. We took financial peace. We did the workbook, we did the homework, and boom, unexpected challenges. We did parenting workshops. We had family devotionals. We had dinners together, family vacations together, and now we're raising 20-year-olds. And if you don't have challenges with your 20-year-olds, you thank God. Praise the Lord. Do a holy dance right now. But if you are going through it, the feeling can be, but I did what you told me to do. Why am I being punished? Then there are times, you know, we've been to marriage workshops, marriage retreats, and we're still going through it with our marriage because she just won't listen to me. If only she would listen to me. And we'll be all right. The sisters are not saying amen. It's more like learning to listen to one another. But, you know, those situations can make us feel overwhelmed. Anybody ever felt overwhelmed in your relationship with God? Discouraged in your relationship with God? Like, this is not what I signed up for in your relationship with God. And I know it's very easy to come to church and to put on that smile and I'm doing great. We have been around long enough. We know the kingdom vernacular. It is amazing. Oh, yeah, we're all done. How's the family? Everybody's doing fine. But, you know, when you look at verse 36, it says here, then Jesus went with his disciples to a place called Gethsemane, and he said to them, sit here while I go over there and pray. And it says that he took his friends with him, Peter, two sons of Zebedee, and he began to be sorrowful and troubled. Then he said to them, my soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. Stay here, keep watch with me. Jesus knew he had to go to the cross. He had known for eternity he had to go to the cross. But when the realization came, he says, I am overwhelmed. I'm sorrowful. Guys, this is hard. See, Jesus knew how to deal with his emotions. He knew how to deal with them. And I want to encourage us today that, first of all, as mature Christians, we got to clearly identify what we're feeling. We got to clearly identify and verbalize what we are feeling. You don't have to go there yet. Thank you. We have to be the ones to talk about those inner struggles. And it says he took his close, safe relationships, Peter, James, and John. I think sometimes we can make the mistake and we feel like the church wasn't there for me in my hour of need. Where's the pastor? Where's the minister? Where's my Bible taught leader? But notice, when Jesus was going through this difficult time, he didn't take everybody with him. He said, Peter, James, and John. Come on, we got some things. Guys, guess what? I'm overwhelmed to the point. I'm struggling right now. This is hard. How is our circle of friends? How's our circle? We no longer, how long we've been in the church, we never outgrow relationships. And let me tell you, those burdens are a lot heavier to bear if we're trying to bear them by ourselves. But if we can have just a few good friends, that's all. Just a few good friends, a few safe relationships, then we need to be gut level honest. Now, I got to be honest with you, when you have those safe relationships and you start pouring out your heart, you got to be prepared for their response. So Jesus went and prayed that first time. My Father, if it is possible, may this cup be taken from me, yet not as I will, but as you will. Then he returned to his disciples and found them sleeping. His best friends asleep. Guys, I'm having a struggle in my life. Right there, it's when some Christians walk away from God because they don't understand. People are people. Jazz made up a new word, peopling. People be peopling, whatever that means. Although we can have safe relationships, they're human. We're just people. We mean well. We try. We do the best we can. But sometimes we just don't connect on that level. And you notice what Jesus did. He said what he needed to say. He said, couldn't you men keep watching with me for 1 hour? He asked Peter. It's so interesting. He always would direct it at Peter. Peter, couldn't you just stay 1 hour? Just give me 1 hour. Watch and pray that you will not fall in temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. He went away a second time and prayed, my Father, if it is not possible for this cup to be taken away unless I drink it, may your will be done. What I learned from this is that we have to understand there are some things only God is going to handle. And we got to be at peace with that. As young Christians, especially those of us who were around in the 90s, we had our discipling part and our discipling time. We had a list of things we needed help with. And people spent hours and hours and hours counseling, giving themselves. And all that was wonderful. But I think what may have happened along the way is that sometimes we replace people with God. There are some situations, some challenges, some issues, only God can handle it. That's it. We take it to God. What did Jesus do? That second time around, he went back to God. He says, my Father, if it is not possible for this cup to be taken away unless I drink it, may your will be done. I really want my marriage to change. I want my financial situation to be fixed. Right now, I want my children to just love God. That's the way we raise them, God. But your will be done. What did Jesus do? He left it with God. Was he resolved? Verse 43, he came back, again found them sleeping because their eyes were heavy. So he left them and went away once more and prayed the third time, saying that if Jesus had to wrestle in the garden over and over and over, why do we think it's going to be any different for us? Why? Why do we think it's going to be different? This is an example right here of how intensely Jesus prayed. And as I studied this out, it was so convicting because I'm like, wow, I got to grow in my prayer life. I really got to grow. The challenges I have had the most praying is what Jazz talked about when we lost Kavi. And for a few months there, I just was not inspired to pray. I was grieving. I was hurt. I was disappointed. It wasn't the way I had written the script. And then, you know, slowly, I had to get my heart back re-engaged. to doing God's will. And to get to the place that your will be done. Let me tell you, when you get stuck, and I've been there, what Satan will tell you is God really good? That was deep what Nick talked about. Is God really looking out for your best interest? You know, you made a lot of sacrifices here. Or you poured your life into so-and-so, and they did not reciprocate it. Is it worth it to put your heart out there again? I don't know about you, but the devil tries to work on me with stuff. It's like, you know, it's okay. I can just go to church and take communion. I know all the songs, sing loudly, shake people's hands, but ain't really give my heart. Well, you have to look at Jesus. Because in verse 45, then he returned to his disciples and said to them, are you still sleeping and resting? Look, the hour has come. Son of Man is delivered into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us go, exclamation point. Here comes my betrayer. At some point, we got to leave the garden. Oh, we got to bear our souls. We got to tell our best friends. We got to wrestle it out. But at some point, we got to get resolved. We got to get resolved. Jesus didn't stay in the garden. He didn't stay there. He says, you know what? Your will be done. I will submit. Ooh, I don't like that word. You know best. I will submit with a good attitude. Rise. Let us go. Here come my betrayer. Well, how do we know Jesus had a good attitude? Because when Judas walked up, Jesus said, friend. I could have come with a lot of different names other than friend. Friend, do what you came to do, because it's all right with me and God. It's all right. Okay, I have no grudges. I'm at peace. I'm resolved. I'm trusting God. It's going to be all right. See, if you hadn't been to the garden, I wish I could say, you may not go there, but that's a lie. If we're going to be like Jesus, we really have to be like Jesus. Go through the good, the victories, and the challenges. But I'm talking about rising and going forward, moving forward. You know, I do want to take this opportunity to thank my brother Nick. He did a great job with the communion. And something Nick said to me before he left, he said, listen, we're moving on to Northview. I want you to know we love you. It's going to work out best for the family to be up there. I said, no problem. He said, I want you to understand, when I go, I may be a bridge between the two ministries. I may be able to help knit these ministries closer together. And once Nick and Rhonda came on up, he didn't just forget about us. And complain about all the things that were miserable about the GACC, and I'm glad to get away from those. No. He will say, hey, do you know Jim Linehan? I had lunch with Jim. I was talking about you. And that's what it means to rise. That's what it means to rise. And wherever the Spirit takes you, to still be a great disciple. And right now, what we need more than anything is Christians building bridges. We need that. So thank you so much for the way God has used you. You know, in our video, we showed all these young Christians and all these young people and the excitement of the young adults. We have this ministry now. They're excited. They're baptizing their friends. They're bringing their friends. And, you know, everybody's just having that honeymoon phase, just one big party. And there's a sister in our ministry. I shared with her, I was preaching at our midweek, I said, can I share your story? She said, sure. She's been a Christian over 20 years. Husband hadn't become a disciple yet. Raised her children in the church. One of them got baptized. Now both of them are far from the church. She's going through things, raising them. She's going through things in her marriage. And she said, you know, Mike, when I met up with the church, you all were right in my neighborhood. You were over there in Stone Mountain. I live right in that area. So I started coming to church because a friend invited me. And I said, I just love this church. And then after a month, y'all left. And you went all the way downtown. I live in Stone Mountain. Y'all went downtown. But I said, it's so encouraging, I may as well make the drive. And she started coming along, and then her friend who invited her left. She said, you know, I really didn't have that many relationships, and everybody else was a lot of people just younger than me. But you know what? I realized I needed this for me. God was still working on me. And I'm so grateful for my wife, because my wife got in there and really befriended her, and the other women got in there and befriended her. And let me tell you, our sister has struggled. She's gone through challenges, but she got out the garden. She got resolved. And what she did, she started reaching out to a young man who had worked in her office. She's a social worker as an intern. So after he graduated, got his master's degree, she said, hey, there's a job opportunity for you. And then she became his supervisor. So he started coming to the job, working with her, and she started sharing her faith with him, and they became very good friends. And she says, you know, you're about to get married. You need to come to church. Wow. It'll be good for you. You need some guys in your life. I can only do so much. You need men. The first thing he came to was our marriage retreat last year. He and his wife came to the marriage retreat, and they've been coming ever since, and Russell and Jasmine became Christians. And it's so cool to see Alice with Russell and Jasmine. They are early to midweek. They're some of the earliest people there. Jasmine is pregnant. She's about 8 or 9 months. That's just this there. Cause Alice is an old school disciple. Midweek ain't an option. And you get there early. And not only that, she has them serving. So all three of them sit at the welcome table together. And in their minds, that's what you do as a Christian. And not only that, she says, we got to make disciples. So she has them in studies. Well, last week, Thomas, Russell's friend, became a Christian. And now Thomas's wife is studying. But what I love about it, Sean said, Alice, you know what to do. Go and do it. That sister is going for it. She could be home, distracted by her children, unhappy with her marriage. But she says, you know what? She said, let them know. He never became a disciple. I pray, well, but I got to do God's will. And that's what I want to leave us with. You can put up that next slide. That's what I want to leave us with. We got to clearly identify what we're feeling and find safe friends to express it. That's part of our spiritual maturation. Wrestling with God in prayer and learn to submit to God's good and perfect will. And at some point, we got to leave the garden. We can't stay in the garden. We got to leave, and we got to go and say, Lord, your will be done. Brothers and sisters, again, thank you for all of your sacrifice. Thank you for all of your encouragement. But I want to say this to my brothers and sisters who are older in the Lord. It's not over. There's still more fight left. I want to encourage you, stay in the fight. Stay in the fight. For those of us who are wrestling with, I don't know if I got the energy to do it again. That's okay. That's where prayer comes in. But also resolution. And to God be the glory. Amen.